What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo, yo, yo. Hey, guys, welcome back to another awesome edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. It's the beginning of another week, and every Monday we do something called Metric Mondays. Well, this time we're going to go a little deeper on this whole thing called overhead because we get so many questions. Today, we're going to uncover what team compensation percentage really is and how it's measured and how it impacts your practice. With my amazing co-host, Miranda Beeson, you get this right, you can change your practice completely. So please listen up. Hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. And it is the beginning, I say this all the time, beginning of another week, which is Monday for most of you. And we are back with something called Metric Mondays. Now, I'll just tell you the story behind this. We've created these themes and we've gotten a lot of positive feedback that you guys actually really like this. And we've seen the metrics. And so the whole idea when you're showing up on Mondays is to give you a little bite-sized piece of information around a metric to help you improve your practice and your life. And I have my co-star. I shouldn't even say co-star. She's really the star. I'm just the interviewer. And her name is Miranda Beeson. Thanks for being back. I really appreciate you.
Kirk, thanks for having me back. And you're not giving yourself enough credit for the value that you add on Metric Mondays and every other podcast that we do together.
Well, we will let the listeners decide that. So, today we're going to actually go into a little bit of a deeper dive inside the overhead thing, which is totally different than it was 30 years ago. So tell our listeners, where are we going today, Miranda?
Well, we're going to do a series over the next few Mondays that's around overhead. A lot of dentists have questions about overhead percentage. And just right off the top, we should talk about the fact that we always say the best way to impact your overhead is by improving your revenue because overhead is a percentage of your collections. So a lot of what we're going to talk about is definitely going to be within these individual buckets that fall within the elements of the overhead in your practice. But we just want to make sure we keep that really high level concept front and center the whole time, which is the biggest way to impact your overhead is through your collections and making sure your collections gap is sound. Because when we're collecting 100% and we are our effort gap is tweaked to where we're keeping as much of that production as possible, we have a lower write-off between our gross and net production, we're going to be able to have a lower overhead naturally. But we can look at each of these buckets. It's really important to make sure we understand what happens within each element of overhead. And there's just a few very key buckets that overhead consists of. And this Metric Monday today we're going to start with is the one that houses the bulk of it, team compensation percentage. So we're going to be looking at the element of overhead percentage relative to team compensation. And ultimately, that's the percentage of your total revenue or your collections that goes towards paying your team. It includes their wages and salaries, the payroll taxes, any retirement contributions, benefits, sometimes even a uniform allowance. There's elements in any way that the team members are receiving pay and or benefits. And it really reflects how efficiently your team structure and compensation model supports the overall financial health of the practice. This is a tricky one for people, doctors, because it's directly tied to the people that serve you and that you serve and that you care about. So it can be a pretty sensitive one to talk to doctors about.
Yeah, I totally agree. And we can go down a lot of rabbit holes. But the one thing I would say is if you're a dentist listening, a lot of people look at this with a lot of angst or they look at it as an expense, but really this is an investment. You're investing in humans, people that keep the practice going in the direction. So I would first tell you, like, change the way you think about it. It's not an expense. It's an investment. And with any investment, you want to make sure that you have a good ROI. So Miranda, give us a little idea on this percentage. How does it impact the practice?
I love what you just said about it being humans. I always say human resources, and humans comes first. And so team compensation, it's typically the largest area of overhead in your practice. And historically, 25% is really considered to be a benchmark or a goal for how much of or what percentage of the revenue our collections is spent on paying our team members. What we are seeing now is that a lot of practices are in that 25 to 30% range. We actually have some that are even above that. I'd like to say, again, that's a product of an effort gap or a collections gap challenge. But for the most part, the benchmark is to be in that 25 to 30% at the highest. We have noticed a big shift in the last 5 to 6 years because there is a higher demand happening. There is a supply and demand issue with team members. And so people are asking for a little bit more. And we all know we have to pay hygienists a bit more now than we did just a few years ago. And so that impacts directly this particular percentage mark. But when it's in a healthy range, when you are in that 25% to 30% range, it means that your team is producing value that matches the investment that you're making in them. So most doctors don't have a problem at all with paying a hygienist more if they know they're getting value back into the practice. They'll, like you said, invest in your team, and then they invest that back into creating the value and building that within your practice. If you have the right people in the right seats and they're making the right impact, you're running those efficient systems in a productive schedule, you're going to pretty easily sit within this realm of this benchmark of 25 to 30. Now, when it's too high, it's one of these measurements where we can almost immediately say what's probably happening in your practice day to day or what it feels like. But when it's too high, even with strong production, it can feel really tight, like you're pinching pennies. You'll have limited profitability and an inability or limited ability to invest in technology or, you know, fix your chair when the fabric rips. Like, there's all these little, you start pinching pennies when we start to feel this tighten up as a percentage. So practices have a tendency to throw people at inefficiencies. It's one of my favorite phrases that you share. And that also drives up this overhead segment. So we want to be, you know, lean and mean, invest in people, make sure we have the right seats, we have the right people in the right seats. And when those people are running efficient systems and really flourishing to add the value in your practice, you're going to really see that come back as an ROI and that investment you're making in your team members.
Yeah, so well said. Miranda, this is an important one. So if you're listening, you're driving to work, you're driving your practice. If your overhead with team compensation is above 30%, I can tell you you're already stressed because that's your largest piece of the overhead pie. And if it's at 33%, I can already tell you, Frank Spears said this years ago, and I love it. He says, if you're at 33% with your team compensation, I don't even need to know who you are. I can tell you everyone feels underpaid and everyone feels overworked. And that is true for you. You don't have any money because your practice is paper thin on reserves. Now, let me say one more thing because we're here to help. We've been doing this for a very long time. It's not that you are overpaying people when you're in that range. It's what Miranda said at the beginning. You're just not collecting enough for the salaries you're paying. Let me say that again. It's not because you're overpaying. Your practice just isn't collecting enough. Now, there's a lot of factors that could include that. That would be your insurance participation, your fees, your financial arrangements. You have to be smart about this. And if this is a struggle, this is where you get a coach. The other thing that you said, Miranda, that's so good is that we know without even meeting the practice owner that when your team compensation is at 25%, I can already tell you that's a systems-driven office as opposed to a people-dependent office. Mm-hmm. And when you're a people-dependent office, which means you're not very organized, you're just throwing people, person after person after person, at a problem because everyone's maxed, that is a very dangerous place to be. So, and I can already tell you too that your people, when your system's driven, people love that. It's predictable. You can actually pay people more. So there's a lot of things to consider on this path, right?
You're right. And I've worked with practices just like that, where when we get going, they're in the 40, 45%. And it's really hard to recover from that. But majority of the time, there's one of those two things at play. One, we just have so much inefficiency that we've added more and more people to compensate for the stress and our lack of ability to keep up with the day-to-day. And or we also are having perhaps a really high effort gap. We're writing off a lot. And so we have to have a certain amount of people to produce, to gross produce this certain amount, but we're not keeping all of that. Maybe right. We're only keeping, you know, 60% of that. And so therefore we can't even collect, even if we're at 100%. It's hard to maintain the balance of team compensation when we have a significant effort gap, because we have to have enough people to support that gross production, even though we're not going to be able to collect on all of it. So the biggest contributing factor is definitely around those gaps and around having the revenue that will offset the overhead percentage. And the other thing that's really important that you mentioned is when you see these get above 30%, when you see team compensation percentage in your overhead going over 30%, you said, I already know you have people who feel underpaid and overworked. And that's so true. And they're still asking you for more. And right. So the best way to navigate that is to really work towards culture. So we have a few tips for how we can improve this in our practice. Obviously, we want to start by looking at our gaps. If you've never evaluated those, that's always going to be step one through this whole series of overhead. Where's your effort gap and where's your collections gap? But beyond that, we can talk about a few elements of things that we can do starting tomorrow.
Yeah, let's go there. The important piece of all of our podcasts like this is we want to give you countermeasures. So if you're thinking, gosh, my team compensation is 31%, what should I do? So Miranda, what should I do if it's too high?
The very first thing that's pretty simple is looking and saying, does everyone have a role that's truly contributing to the efficiency of the practice? So if we have 5 administrative team members, but there's no defined accountabilities or processes or responsibilities for what everyone's doing, we're probably all pretty inefficient with our time. So ensuring every team member is operating at the top of their role and contributing to the efficiency, having a function and an accountability chart, and it doesn't have to get fancy if you're just going to, you know, you need to put something together, you're starting from ground zero. It can be drawn with a magic marker on a piece of paper initially. But just what are the seats in your practice that are really needed, not considering the people on your team currently, but just if I look at my practice as an ideal systems operating practice, what are the seats that I need? I need maybe 3 hygiene seats and perhaps 2 assistant seats and a floater assistant seat, and I need 3 administrative seats. Okay, great. That's a great place to start, because then you can start and say, okay, well, if I have 3 administrative seats, what are the accountabilities or responsibilities for seat 1? What are the accountabilities or responsibilities for seat 2? And they're, you know, they're 4 and 4 on. And so once you have that built out, the team's able to operate within this expectation clarity of what their responsibilities are, and efficiency starts to generate. And honestly, your team can help you to a degree to understand if you don't know what all the responsibilities of an admin team are or that your assistants complete, let the team help you build this out. It doesn't have to all be on your shoulders. But once you have that in place, your team is going to be able to evaluate schedules and templates and making sure that we're scheduling to production and working efficiently every day. We're going to be able to look at the systems that happen within the practice. Each of those accountabilities is probably, like, if there's somebody responsible for collections, do we have a system around when and how we collect payments from patients? So it all starts with creating the right seats in the practice and identifying what are the accountabilities and responsibilities within those seats.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can I add one here? So yeah. I think the first step is if you became a client, we would make you track this. We have our internal gaps analysis, sheets where we can, and that's a big part of it, is a lot of dentists don't know exactly what their compensation percentage is. And it can range, it can fluctuate depending on your collection. So getting our arms around it for the first quarter, we know exactly where it is. And a lot of dentists are like, man, I didn't even know that. Does that include all of like FICA and all that? Yes, it does. It includes all of those things. So once you know all of that, you can do exactly what Miranda's talking about, and you can start to put this into play. And you mentioned systems. I'll just take us back a little bit of journey. If you were an ACT client 25 years ago, you know how we did this. We made you write systems until you were exhausted. It was systems focus. And by nature, your compensation would go down. You're like, wow, we're collecting more. We're just, everyone was crazy focused. They had their swim lanes. You knew, I mean, it's funny running into old clients. They're like, man, that first year, man, you guys made us write so many systems, but I still use them. We're still organized. Our team compensation is still 25%. It's like crazy. There is some validity to getting crazy organized around those roles and what each person does and watching its impact on the practice. So,
well, Kirk, you made a really great point, which I didn't mention. I guess I assumed, which I've learned my lesson, right? Assuming makes something out of you and me. Is that this information is pulled from your P&L.
Right.
Like maybe we should have gone all the way to the ground level.
Right.
To know your team compensation percentage, you have to look at what is your collection, say, for this past month, and then look at your P&L, your profit and loss statement that you're getting through your accountant or pulling from QuickBooks, and what are those elements that are relative to payroll? Tally them up, and then what is the percentage of collections? That's how you know month over month or year over year, what your team compensation percentage is. And then the last tip I would have as we come to the end here is a lot of people are still getting asked for a raise on a regular basis. You have somebody who walks up to you and they say, hey, can we talk at the end of the day? And you're like, I know what they're going to do. They're going to ask me for a raise. I know it. Or you know you haven't given a raise in the last year or 2 years, but you also don't know how or where that's going to come from because you can feel the anxiety around funds in your practice. Yes, all of these other things are really important. You need to look at how can I next year not feel as burdened by the financial aspect of my practice by looking at the gaps and things of that nature? But you can also look at ways to provide some incentive to your team that isn't a raise. So a way that a lot of our teams help to encourage the team member to be able to earn more, but also benefit the practice is by looking at profit sharing models or a commission, like hourly plus commission-based structure. So hygiene especially, there's a lot of potential in hygiene, but there's also a cap to what is reasonable to be able to afford a hygienist in the practice. And a really, really great way to be able to navigate that is an hourly plus commission. So you might be able to keep someone where they're at or give them a little nudge, but then allow for them to have a set goal each day within their schedule. And then at the end of the month, if they exceed that goal, there's a percentage of that that can then be awarded back to them almost as a bonus or commission structure. It's usually 30% of whatever the overage is of their goal in that given time period. So that's a small little, like right now, something you could do to have a conversation and align with your team around, I want you to be able to earn more. I really, really do. Help us and we'll help you. And it's a nice win-win. And then ultimately going back and really looking at write-offs, looking at your collections percentage and seeing how can we collectively as a whole practice in this next year ahead, plan a little better so that we can all take care of each other a little bit better and ultimately take care of our patients better.
Amen, sister. So well said. So this is an important component, team compensation percentage. And so Miranda gave us a great framework for this. If you're looking at this today or tomorrow and you're struggling with it and you have some questions, we're here to help. We're a helpful organization. So like reach out to us. You'll speak to Gina on our team or another member of our team. We're so happy to help you. We also have resources back in the Best Practices Association. We're going to encourage you to join us back there. We're building the ultimate ecosystem to help support private practice. And so don't struggle with this. And if you've tried everything, like I've tried everything, it's not just working. Get a coach. You can have an amazing coach like Miranda come to your office and whip you into shape. So it works. I'm telling you, it works. So Miranda, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Thank you very much for having me. Appreciate you too.
Stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for listening on a Monday to Metric Mondays. We're going to keep bringing it as we look at this brand new year, and we have so much to share. And I'm here to tell you, the road is very exciting ahead. So keep showing up and we'll keep bringing it. So until we see you guys next time or you hear from us next time, keep watching or keep listening to the Best Practice Show. You guys enjoy your Monday. So there you have it, another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word, and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.